服务源于聆听，亲爱的奉献者们，今天是2020年1月1日，元旦。首先祝大家新年快乐。我们再次荣幸的邀请到来的 Trump 部，在新年的第一天为我们讲解永恒的 Chaitanya 经史 ，Chaitanya Charitamrita Hare Krishna。
Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda。
Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda。
Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaurava Vrinda。
Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaurava Vrinda。
Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda。
Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda。
Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaurava Vrinda。Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda.
Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda.
Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Reading from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila, Chapter 20, Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu instructs Sanatan Goswami in the science of the absolute truth.
今天我们继续来阅读永恒的璀璨的经，是璀璨的 Charitamrita。玛迦利拉中篇逍遥的第20章，主师 Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 教导 Sanatan Goswami 有关绝对真理的科学。
Before we begin this lecture, we would like to warmly wish everyone a Happy New Year.
在我们开始今天正式的课程之前，我们要衷心的祝福大家新年快乐。
We are very honored to be the first one to broadcast.The narration of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu on the first day of the year, making January 1st a very auspicious day.
那我们能够在新年的第一天，2020年1月1日，首先给大家来播讲 Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 与 Sanatan Goswami 之间的这个对话，我们感到非常的荣幸。
And we shall begin today's lecture by answering the question.
我们首先先回答一下上周遗留的问题。上周一共有三个问题，现在我们先读一下第一个问题，顶拜老师和翻译，感恩您的精彩讲解。请问物质欲望和物质依附之间有关系吗？物质欲望和色欲之间有关系吗？感恩您。
Thank you very much for your wonderful explanations. Is there any relationship between material desire and material attachment? Is there a relationship between material desires and lust? Thank you very much.
This answer is found in many ways in the Bhagavad Gita.
这个问题的答案你可以在博家梵歌的很多地方找到。
And also in the early pages of the Chaitanya Charitamrita.
还有 Chaitanya Charitamrita 的最前面的部分。
And it is made clear in both texts and in many texts in the Vedas that anything which is not directly related to Krishna as being the center of everything is considered to be material desire and lust.
那么在经典的很多地方，在伟达很多伟达经典当中，你都可以读到这样的一个定义：只要是不以 Krishna 为核，那么就可以被称为是一种物质欲望，或者是物质依附、色欲。
Material attachment are the results of material desires.
物质的这个依附呢，它是物质欲望的结果。
they always go side by side together.
这两者之间呢，总是在一起，不可分。
And material desires exist because of our forgetfulness of our eternal relationship with Krishna.
物质欲望之所以存在，是因为我们遗忘了和 Krishna 之间的永恒的关系。
So when the mind and the senses are not engaged in Krishna's service, automatically they will engage in material desires.
如果一个人不把心意和感官都用来为 Krishna 做奉献服务，那么一定呢就会沉浸在物质的欲望之中，会从事物质的活动。
So when the conditioned souls turn their back on Krishna, automatically all their activities are considered to be lusty.
那么当受条件限制的灵魂背离 Krishna 的时候，他所有的这些活动呢就染上了色欲的成分。
Lust is the natural reflection of pure love.
色欲呢是纯粹的爱的一个物质的倒影。
So as long as we don't experience pure love, we will experience lust.
那只要是还经体验不到这种纯粹的爱，我们就只能感受到的是色欲。
Which means that we place ourselves in the center instead of placing Krishna at the center.
也就是说，我们把自我放在生活的中心，而不是把 Krishna 放在我们生命的中心。
Okay. Next question.
下一个问题。请拜帕布和 Mataji 感恩你们精彩的讲课。我们除了对待孤乳外，是否对待奉献者也应该抱着谦卑和尊重的态度呢？面对出席奉献者的提问，如果对方是在不屑心态下带着挑衅和战斗的态度与我们交谈，并且涉及到很多与奉献者冒犯的语言，在适当的引导之后，为了避免更多不必要的冒犯，我们是否可以回避与他们的更多交谈，而推荐他们去向幸福的更资深的奉献者询问呢？
Thank you very much for your wonderful class. Besides being humble to the guru, should we also be very humble and respectful to the other devotees? Sometimes we are faced with questions from neophyte devotees, but the other person might be in an attitude of distrust, being very challenging or belligerent. In that mood, they would talk to us, and naturally it involves a lot of offensive words towards devotees. After some guidance, in order to avoid unnecessary offenses, can we avoid having further talk with this kind of people, but recommend them to inquire from senior devotees whom they trust more? Yes.
This is a ongoing issue in communities in general. This is not just among devotees. Any community of people will face this kind of situation.
其实这样的一个问题呢，不独独只有奉献者的团体才有。其实在任何的一个社群，任何一个社团当中，这都是非常常见的一个问题。
And communities normally live according to certain rules and standards.
那一个社团呢，它的这个存在一定是遵循着一定的规则和标准。
Then it's up to the individual how they want to manage their ways within the community's rules and standards.
那么究竟是否是遵守这些规则和标准呢？这个就是因人而异了，这个得看每一个人的理解而言。
With the options of keeping one's distance or the options of getting involved.
你究竟是和这样的一个人是保持一定的距离，还是去参与到他的这种生活中？
Now, when it comes to spiritual communities, such as the community of devotees, we have to understand that everyone is diseased because of a material condition.
那么就灵性的团体而言，比如说奉献者的这个团体，有一个前提我们大家都要明白，就是所有的来到这个团体当中的，其实都是带着疾病而来的。这种疾病是源于每个人在物质上的这种局限。
And it's not because someone has a more acute disease that we should reject that person.
并不是说一个人有这种急症，他的病更加严重一些，我们就要排斥他。
There is the description of the three levels of devotees.
我们知道对这个奉献者有三个分类。
And the neophyte devotee only looks up to the guru and Krishna, but he ignores the community of devotees.
He is also. 但是初级奉献者呢，一般来说就是说他是非常的这个尊重这个 guru 啊，然后对这个 Krishna 啊，特别是对这个神像呢。他也是非常尊重的，但是他不把其他的奉献者放在眼里。
So there will automatically or naturally be some distrust, towards the other devotees.
所以呢，他们对其他的奉献者就抱着一种不信任的态度。
But it doesn't mean that we should reject that person.
但是这也并不意味着我们就要排斥这样的奉献者。
However, if there is a continuous attitude of distrust, then possibly one would prefer to keep some distance.
但是呢，如果这个人他一直也不改，一直是抱着这样非常不信任的一种态度的话，那我们可能也没办法，只能和他保持距离。
Now, you will find that if somebody doesn't trust you,And it would be better for that person to speak to a more senior person. It may not change very much the situation.
那你可能也会发生这样的一种情况。那这个人呢，他不信任你，那你推荐他去跟年长的这个奉献者去交流，但是可能还是没有真正的解决这个问题。
Even if the person approaches the spiritual master directly, it may not change the situation.
那这个人呢，他即便是直接和灵性导师交谈的话，可能也没有什么太大的变化，情况并没有得到改善。
So it may take time before such a disease is removed.
所以这样的一种疾病的康复，可能就是需要一定的这个时间，这个疾病才能够根除。
And in spiritual life, we cannot...use shortcuts to make spiritual progress. We have to go through each step gradually and systematically.
那在这个灵修的这个生活当中呢，我们是不能走捷径的。一个人要进步的话呢，他必须得要循序渐进的，一步一步的，有系统的来走。
And this is the difference between the process of Bhakti Yoga and many other so-called spiritual processes.
difference.那这个就是说我们的 Bhakti 奉爱的这个程序和其他的一些所谓的灵修程序之间的一个很大的区别。
In many other yoga processes or spiritual communities, people have the freedom to keep all their shortcomings and natural desires within the heart and externally make a show of complete harmony.
那很多的这个其他的这个瑜伽的这个体系或者其他的法门灵修的这个程序呢，实际上也是一种所谓的走捷径的一种途径。那么去修习的这些人呢，他们往往还保留着自己原来的这种缺点，还有很大的这些物质欲望，然后同时又是在修行，但是从外在而言呢，你会看到他。生活非好，似乎表面上非常的和谐，然后内心好像也很平和。
But in the process of Krishna consciousness or Bhakti Yoga, this is given so that we all, each in our own pace, become purified by engaging our mind, body, and senses in Krishna's service.
那么在我们的 Krishna 知觉的这个修行的这个程序当中，我们的这样的一个程序呢，其实就是伴随着每一个人的从感官到心意的一个整体的一个进化，然后逐步的这个得到了进化之后呢，一个人就能够得到进步了。
So the first thing that happened is that all the impurities come to the surface.
所以说在修习的这个过程当中，这些污染往往会浮出水面。
So it's like a hospital where you have all sorts of disease people.
就好像你进了一个医院一样，这个医院里面呢，得了各种病都有。
And some are the emergency unit, some are going into surgery, some are getting cured.
有些人是在急诊室里面，有些人是在手术台接受手术，然后呢，有一些人是在这个康复阶段，即将要出院。
And Prabhupada gives the example of the ship, the boat.
那释迦牟尼佛他举了一个例子，这就好比是一艘船。
So the Gaudiya Vaishnava community is sailing all the way back to Krishna, and while you are on the boat, there may be some turbulence, some bad weather, some strong waves, and people may get sea jumps off the boat.
就好像是Gaudiya Vaishnava 的这艘大船正在就是乘风破浪的向 Krishna 驶去，然后在这个行驶的这个过程当中，在船上的人呢，可能都会经历到天气的骤变或者是遇到了风暴，遇到了大的这个风浪，但是所有的人都还会待在这艘船上，是不会跳下这艘船。
We have to learn to tolerate seasickness.
所以说在这个时候他可能会晕船，那么同样我们每个人可能都会有晕船，但是在这个时候呢，最好的办法还是去忍耐。
Now, this is valid as long as there are no offenses.
那当然这里有一个前提，就是说我们不能冒犯。
If the person becomes offensive to the devotees, then the person needs to be inoculated.
那么就是说就是如果一个人他是冒犯了，是总是不断的冒犯其他人的话，那么他可能就要接种这个疫苗，或者说他要隔离
in quarantine.
Yeah.
Yes.
就是要给他搁在一个隔离室里面哈。
Until the person understand by themselves that they have no hope and no future unless they change their attitude.
那么他自己呢就要去思考，然后他就可能就会能明白，他实际上必须得要改变他的心态，改变他待人处事的这种方式，他才有可能得到完全的痊愈。
So the answer to this question, includes the next question.
那么就是这个问题，第二个这个问题其实里面呢，它也包含了第三个提问。第三个提问我来读一下哈，顶拜帕布和玛塔吉，感恩帕布精彩的讲课。如果一个奉献者他的脾气非常的暴躁，有事情他控制不了自己的情绪，每次和他交谈都非常小心，可还是不知道哪句话就惹他生气了。并且惹得他说了很多冒犯的话，那么如何和这样的奉献者相处呢？ Thank you very much for your wonderful class. If the devotee is very short-tempered, very hot-tempered, and it's very hard for him to control his mood. Every time when we talk with him, we have to be very careful because he might get irritated at any time.And he might even speak a lot of offensive words. So how to get along with this kind of devotee?
It's included in my answer from before.
就是对于这个第三个这个问题的这个回答呢，我刚才在第二个这个问题里面就已经是包含了。
Okay. Now we will continue the reading of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita.
那现在呢，我们一起来继续的阅读 Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita 永恒的 Chaitanya.
Where Sanatan Goswami has inquired from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu.
那在这里呢 ，Sanatan Goswami 一直在向 Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 询问。
And we have observed his very exemplary, humble attitude to approach the Supreme Lord.
我们看到了他呈现了接近至尊主的一种最谦卑的榜样。
And even though he has presented himself as being completely unqualified,
虽然呢他是以一种完全一无是处的这样的一个谦卑的形象出现的。
That attitude makes him a qualified candidate to receive transcendental knowledge.
但是正是这样的一种心态使得他成了去接受超然的知识的一个最合格的人选。
He began by saying, I don't know who I am.
他首先说呢，我不知道我是谁。
And I don't know why the threefold miseries of material existence are constantly harassing me.
我也不知道为什么物质的这个三种苦一直的在搅扰着我。
He says people consider me to be a learned person.
人们认为我是有学饱学之士。
And they give me respect.
而且非常的尊重我。
But actually, I don't know what is beneficial for me.
但是我却不知道什么是对我好的。
So, this is how he presented himself as being completely unqualified.
所以说呢，他就是这样子来说自己的，就是说他认为他自己没有丝毫的资格。
But what really qualified him to receive the knowledge is that he begged for mercy.
那么但是呢在这里他其实他去接受的这个知识和仁慈的一个最杰出的一个品格那就是他的这种品质那就是说呢他是在祈求的仁慈。他这种祈求的态度是他的资格仁慈。
And how do you explain mercy?
Explain in Chinese?
Yeah.
仁慈。
Yeah, but how do you explain it? What's mercy?
What's mercy?
No explanation.
Well, there is some sense of compassion, so...with blessings, no matter who
you
are.
Yeah, I think that this kind of word, just like the word spiritual, right? It's difficult to explain what spiritual means.
那就像这种仁慈这样的这个词，这就好像是灵性这样词一样，就是说你要去真正的去解释它，其实是不太容易的。
So words like spiritual and mercy, they are words that we use.But actually, it's very difficult to understand them unless we are situated.
理解的。
But actually, those two words are very, very specific.
这两个词它其实是可以说是专门的用语。
There's no blurry understanding. There is no blurry definition.
它是有一定的特质的。它的这个含义丝毫都没有模棱两可的成分。
And we can begin by saying that spiritual means that it's not.Material.
我们可以首先这么说，灵性就意味着它不是物质的。
Another terminology is that spiritual means that it's permanent, material means it's temporary.
我们还有一个定义可以这么说，灵性是永恒的，而物质却是短暂的。
Spiritual means that it is based on the presence and existence of the soul in connection to the supreme soul.And material means that it is based on the body and the material elements.
那这个灵性呢，可以说是基于个体与至尊主之间的一种连接，一种存在。那么就是物质呢，是基于躯体，基于物质的元素。
So you can fairly say that if any process.That does not acknowledge the existence of the soul and the supreme soul is not a spiritual process.
所以你可以这样说，如果说任何有这么一种程序，但是它是跟个体的灵魂和至尊的灵魂是无关的，那么它就是物质的，它就肯定不是灵性的。
Now, when we speak about mercy, mercy is also a spiritual act.
那现在让我们来说一下仁慈。其实仁慈它也是一种灵性的能量。
And mercy is something that we cannot control.
仁慈是我们无法去控制的。
Mercy is like the rain cloud.
它就好像是雨云。
The rain cloud is formed by the evaporation of the water from the ocean.
海洋中的水经过蒸发之后到了天上就形成了雨云。
And then blown by the wind onto the land.
然后呢这个风就会吹着这些雨云然后呢最后才会落到地面上。
But sometimes the rain cloud pulls water onto the ocean.
有的时候这个雨云中的这个水就是转变成雨水之后呢又会重新落到海面上。
So water returns to water.
所以这样呢就是说这些水就还之于水了就回到了水的状态。
And when the cloud is over the land, the water may fall on the rock.
那么当这些雨云呢它如果是飘过了这个陆地的话这个时候下雨的话这些水就会落在岩石上。
And nothing happens to the rock.
那这个岩石呢没有丝毫的变化和影响。
But when water falls on the soil, then there is naturally vegetation.
那当这个雨水落到了土壤中的时候呢庄稼就会生长植物就会生长。
However, there is no way to tell when and where and how the water will fall.
但是这个水究竟是什么时间在什么地方以一种什么形式落下呢这个是你没有办法预见的。
That's why we also say that mercy is causeless mercy.
所以我们经常这样去定义仁慈说是无缘的仁慈。
It can come from anywhere at any time.
可以在任何一个时候它就会出现在你的面前。
So, when a devotee, such as in the case of Sanatana Goswami, is begging for mercy, it's not like, okay, I ask for mercy, therefore I should get mercy.
所以说呢当 Sanatana Goswami 去祈求这份仁慈的时候他并不是这样的一种心态。我现在祈求了仁慈这个仁慈就应当即刻降临。
Mercy is very much a very important component of a devotee's meditation.
仁慈其实是一个奉献者冥想中的一个非常重要的部分。
Just like people who live in on the land are begging for the rain to come, they don't know if the rain will ever come.
所以说呢就好像是在这个陆地上的人生活在陆地上的人他们会去求雨会祈求雨水从天而降因为他们不知道什么时候会有雨水。
Like right now in Australia, the whole country is burned with devastating fires and people have no idea if there will be rain.
那就好像是现在的整片的这个澳大利亚的这个大陆都在遭受着火灾的毁灭性的袭击那么大家都在祈求这个雨水能够从天而降但是谁也不知道什么时候会有雨
Rain will come on its own accord
这个雨水它是自由自在
So this is a very very important point because oftentimes when we pray or when we meditateWe may have some expectations.
所以呢这点呢我们就是要认真的对待因为我们有的时候去祈祷或者说去冥想的时候可能心里面是有这种期待的。
That I'm doing so much chanting, I'm doing so much reading, I'm doing so much service. Therefore, naturally, I should get some mercy.
你会理所应当的以为我念了那么多圈数然后我看了这么多的书做了这么多的服务很自然的我应当得到一些仁慈
but actually it doesn't work that way.
但是事实上呢并不是这样。
And we can see this through many examples in the Srimad Bhagavatam of great devotees who have been put to the worst situation but never gave up hope.
在圣典薄伽瓦坛里我们看到了很多经典的奉献者的例子。他们在他们的生活当中经历了无数的严峻的考验、艰难困苦，但是他们从来都没有放弃希望。
And the mercy comes at the most unexpected time.
仁慈往往是在最出乎意料的时刻降临。
And we see this through different stories in the Srimad Bhagavatam, but especially it culminates the relationship between Krishna.And the inhabitants of Vrindavan.
那在圣典薄伽瓦坛的很多地方，我们都可以看到这一点。那么，最高潮的这个部分是在 Krishna 和 Vrindavan 的居民之间的那些小聊时光里。
Where love for Krishna is expressed at the highest and most intense level.
那在这里呢，这样的一种爱。对 Krishna 的爱，还有 Vrindavan 居民和 Krishna 之间的爱，就是把这种爱推向了顶峰，推向了极致，是一种最强烈的爱。
So here in the case of Sanatan Goswami, he is showing us by example that the way to approach transcendental knowledge or even to make spiritual progress is to beg for mercy.But not to expect immediate results.
所以呢，在这里呢 ，Sanatan Goswami 呢，他就是以身作则的向我们树立了一个典范，就是当你要去就是祈求这份仁慈，但是呢，不要有一种一蹴而就的奢望。
Even if the result comes immediately.
就算是这个结果真的是。立刻的就是降临到你身上。
It could come straight away, or it could come later.
这个结果可能是立刻的出现，但是也有可能是需要一段时间的等待。
This is not of the concern of the devotee. The devotee has made the appeal. Now the appeal is with Krishna. Let Krishna decide.
所以在这个时候已经不是奉献者能够决定了，奉献者已经发出了这样的祈求。那么现在这个决定权就到了 Krishna 那里，要由 Krishna 来决定。
So in the case of Sanatan Goswami again, he is sitting right in front of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is none different than Krishna, and he is begging Chaitanya Mahaprabhu for mercy.
那 Sanatan Goswami 现在就和 Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 坐在一起。Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 不是别人，他就是至尊人格首身。而 Sanatan Goswami 呢，在向他祈求仁慈。
And Lord Chaitanya, of course, is going to respond immediately.
当然 ，Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 呢，在这里会立刻的回应他。
Because it's not the first time that Sanatan Goswami is begging for that mercy.
因为这并不是 Sanatan Goswami 第一次发出这样的对仁慈的祈求。
When he was the minister for finance with Bhupa Goswami, they used to write letters to Lord Chaitanya begging for mercy years before.
当 Sanatan Goswami 和他的弟弟 Bhupa Goswami 还在穆斯林的政府里工作的时候，那时 Sanatan Goswami 是一位财政大臣。很多年之前，他们就已经给 Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 写信去祈求那份仁慈了。
Then when they met.For the first time at Ramakeli, they also begged for mercy.
然后后来他们有幸在 Ramakeli 第一次见到 Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, 那个时候他们还是在祈求仁慈。
And then finally they meet Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and again they beg for mercy.
那后来他们再次见到 Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 的时候，就又一次去祈求仁慈。
And this is the right attitude of a Vaishnava. We even see this all throughout the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami is constantly begging the devotees for mercy.
那么那这个呢，就是说我们去一再的看到的一个情景。在这个 Chaitanya Charitamrita 永恒的 Chaitanya 经中， 我们看到作者 Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami 一次又一次的向 Vaishnava 奉献者祈求仁慈，所以这样的一种祈求仁慈的心态是我们 Vaishnava 奉献者所应该具备的。
Which means that a devotee never takes anything for granted.
那换句话说呢，奉献者他不会想当然。
And as Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur nicely said, first deserve, then desire.
那么 Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati 呢，他曾经说过这样的一句话，英文里就是说first deserve, then desire. 那中文的大意就是说，首先你要让自己具备这样的一个配得上，然后你再去然后你再有愿望。
So how did Chaitanya Mahaprabhu confirm Sanatan Goswami's qualification?
那 Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 是如何来确认 Sanatan Goswami 的资格的呢？
Yogya patra hau tumi bhakti pravartate krame sabha tattva suna kahihe tumate. You are fit.Propagate cult of devotional service. Therefore, gradually hear all the truth about it from me. I shall tell you about them.
那其他念马哈帕布就说呢，你是传扬奉爱服务的合适人选，因此现在你就慢慢的聆听。我向你揭示所有的真理，我将向你一一道来。
So it's interesting that Lord Chaitanya answers by saying you are fit to propagate. He didn't say you are fit to hear. It means that as I am teaching, the objective of my teaching is to empower you so you can spread this knowledge worldwide.
那在这里呢，其他念马哈拉布第一句说到你适合去传扬奉爱服务，他说的是说他去传播传扬，并没有用了这个聆听这个词，其实这里是有深意的，意思就是说我现在讲给你听，那么这个时候其实就是其他念马哈拉布给桑丹坦格苏阿米赋予了他这个力量，然后呢桑丹坦格苏阿米被赋予这份能量之后，他就可以去传播奉爱服务了。
So this is not a private conversation.
那他们之间的这个对话呢，并不是私密性的。
The Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has a master plan. He is empowering specific individuals so they can do his work.
那 Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 的心里有一个更大的一个计划。他现在就是一一的去赋予一些奉献者以这种能量这种力量，然后呢他们就可以去实现他的。
It's exactly as what Krishna does to Arjuna in the Bhagavad Gita.
这个就是完全和 Krishna 在库鲁之野战场上对 Arjuna 的这个谈话是一样的。
The whole dialogue that takes place in the Bhagavad Gita is for the benefit of the conditioned souls. Arjuna is already a pure devotee.
那么其实在这个薄伽梵歌里 ，Krishna 和 Arjuna 之间的这个通篇的这个对话，其实是为了让受条件限制的众生受益。因为其实 Arjuna 他其实已经是一位。
So the teachings that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is going to give to Sanatana Goswami is for the benefit of the people in general, but especially for the progressing devotees.
那 Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 呢，他在这里一直在教导 Sanatana Goswami， 其实也是为了让其他的众生受益那尤其是去针对那些。在灵修的道路上正在进步的奉献者。
So, now, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu will begin to instruct Sanatana Goswami in a very similar fashion as he did when he instructed his brother Rupa Goswami.
那现在呢 ，Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 呢就要以一种与他当初去教导 Rupa Goswami 非常相似的。一种方式来教导 Sanatana Goswami 了。
And this is always transcendental knowledge is given. It's the same pattern.
那这个知识的一种传递是有一个模式的。 这样的一种模式呢，就体现在这里，它会一直的重复。When
you give transcendental knowledge, whether you give it to devotees or you give it to new people, you have to give the big picture first. You don't give the small details. People will not understand.
那么当你给一个人去传递超然的知识，或者是 像一个奉献者去讲述超然的这个知识的时候，首先你要有一个宏观的一个全局的一个呈现，而不是说直接的去讲那些细节，那些细微的部分，可能对方是没有办法理解的。Krishna
does that also in Bhagavad Gita. He deals with five main topics.
那么同样的，在国家赞歌里，当 Krishna 去呈现的时候，他也是用的这样的一个方法。 国家赞歌的主题主要是五个,
Those topics are generic. They are universal topics.
那些问题呢是宇宙性的，它是一些普世性的大问题。
So we have to give first the general big picture of the situation, the material world and spiritual world.
所以呢，首先呢，他在这里的讲述的这个方式。 就是先对整个的这个宏观有一个勾勒，也就是说，不光是对物质世界，对于还有呢，对于这个灵性世界呢，都有一个总数。It's
like when you are looking for a specific place on the map, you don't look just at the local place, you look at the whole map, so you know, oh, that's where this is.
所以说这就很像你去看那个地图，你看地图的时候呢，首先呢。 你要看这个一张大的这个地图，有一个全局观，然后在这个大的环境里面，你再去找到你要找的那个小的这个地方，然后你就知道哦，原来这个小的地方是在这个地方。Also,
you have the analogy of the map at the shopping mall.
这个也好像是你去超市的时候，它有一个导购图。
So at the shopping mall, you have a big panel with a map of all the shops, and then you have one red dot and says, you are here.
就比如说你去超市的时候，它也有一个对于整个大超市的一个导购图。那上面呢，就告诉你，每一家店都是干什么的，然后呢，它会告诉你所在的这个地方是哪里，那你就知道去别的这些地方应该怎么走了。
And in this way, you know how to get to the shop where you need to go.
那这样的话，你明确的知道你是在这个大超市所在的这个位置，然后你就能够找到你想去的那家店，并且怎么去。You
even have an information desk.
你这里呢还有一个咨询台，在这个大超市里、大商厦里面。
And you ask, where do I get to this shop? They say, you have to go to the second floor, and then you have to take this, and then you get there.
那可能你问一下这个问询台的话呢，他们就会告诉你，哦，你要找这家店呢，那你要到二楼，到二楼之后再左拐，再右拐等等。
So, in this is how we approach scriptures.
所以说呢，我们怎么才能去亲近这个经典呢？也是要基于这样的一种方法。
First, we have an initial attraction.
首先呢，我们会有一些初步的吸引。
And that attraction comes in three ways.
这样对我们的这种初步的吸引呢，它是以这个三个方式。
And each of us is attracted to either one, two, or the three of them.
这里呢，这些吸引力的这个点，就是这个。 你被吸引的这些点呢，它可能会是一种或者两种、三种来呈，就是呈现。And
the three attractions are purely spiritual. That's why we are attracted, but we don't know much yet.
就是这三点呢，都是这些三个吸引力点都是灵性的，但是我们只是一种泛泛的被吸引的这种感觉。 至于它的这个 内在的这个意义其实并不是太了解。
One is the prasada.
第一个就是 prasada.
We know it tastes good, but we don't know why it's so spiritual.
我们呢知道这个食物实在是太美味了。但是我们可能还不知道
Especially when it's a pure speculation of mixed Indian and mixed Chinese.
特别是把这个印度菜跟中国菜混搭到一起的时候更是
Or the holy name of Krishna.
或者你被什么吸引呢就是被这个 Krishna 的圣名吸引。
We hear the holy name, we begin to cry, we don't know why.
你听到圣名啊就忍不住掉了眼泪然后你也不知道你为什么会哭。
Or we hear philosophy.
或者你聆听到了哲学。
So these are the initial attraction, either we attracted by one or two or the three of them.
这就是最初的对你形成的吸引力啊，有可能你会被其中一点或者两点或者所有的这三点都吸引。
Once we are attracted, we become attached.
啊，当我们被吸引之后呢，慢慢的就会非常的依恋。
We ask questions.
这个时候会提一些问题。
And we get answers.
得到了答案。
Now, if the answers that we get at the beginning of the initial attraction are very esoteric and very specific, we are going to be confused.
那如果说我们最初吸引我们那些点，然后听下去呢，就觉得特别的深奥，特别的就是不可思议。那么这个时候呢，你可能会有一些困惑了。
So.Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he is going to instruct Sanatana Goswami, he is going to do the same thing as if he was going to give a normal lecture in Dana Kelly's apartment.
那那时候 Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 呢，他就要去教导 Sanatana Goswami。那他呢所讲述的这个方式呢，就好比是在 Dana Kelly 这样的一个奉献者的这个家里。
Or at the program arranged by Sumukhi Radha.
或者是 Sumukhi Radha 所安排的一次奉献者的联谊中的讲课一样。
And you will find that, for example, when you hear Prabhupada's lectures, when he gives a public lecture, or any of our ISKCON gurus, when they give a public lecture, they speak very generically. They speak by giving the big picture, not specific topics.
然后呢，你可能也听过除了 Prabhupada 的讲座，或者是 ISKCON 的一些资深的 Guru 的一些讲课。当面对许多的听众的时候，在公众的场合去讲课的时候呢，他所讲的呢，并不是那么具体的一些细节的问题，而是从一个宏观的一个泛泛的角度来谈方法。
It's not that.In the morning, we are sitting at home and we are reading Krishna book. And then in the afternoon, we meet some new people and we just tell them everything that we read in the Krishna book.
并不是说你早上的时候在家里看一下这个 Krishna book, Krishna 的逍遥时光，然后下午的时候见了一个新人，你就把早上你所读到的那些逍遥时光就讲直接的讲给他听了。那不是这样的。
And you tell people, did you know that Krishna ate dirt and his mother opened his mouth and she saw the universes?
你会不会这样跟那个你遇到的新人说呢？哦，这个你知道吗 ？Krishna 小的时候会吃土，然后他妈妈让他张开这个嘴，然后他妈妈就在他的嘴里看到了整个宇宙。
People will be confused.
那这个对方呢？肯定会摸不着头脑。
They will say, I didn't know that spiritual life is about eating dirt and seeing universe.
我不知道这个灵修跟这个吃土然后在嘴里看到宇宙有什么关系。
There is a good example. I remember being in Israel with Tamal Krishna Goswami when he was giving lecture only to the devotees about the disappearance of Shri Haridas Thakur.
我记得曾经以前在这个以色列的时候，一些奉献者 讲 Hari Vastapu 的演技。
And that pastime is very esoteric.
那这一段的这个逍遥时光讲起来呢是非常深奥非常深刻的。
So he was reading and comment.
他一边在读一边呢在评述。
And then one person walked into the room.
这个时候有一个人就进了这房间。
But the devotees did not see the person, but he saw the person.
那个奉献者并没有看到这个新来的这个人，但是呢，他坐在前面讲课呢，他看见了。
So then his lecture began to change.
然后
Bhagavad Gita is very basic.
就讲到了《博伽梵歌》。然后伯家
stop talking about Haridas Thakur.
然后呢，这个他就没有继续讲这个 Haridas Thakur 了。
Around and they saw that there was a guest.
然后呢，这个讲课完，在这个最后有一个客人坐在那里。
So it means that when he saw the person walk in, he actually gave the lecture to her.
所以说呢，那当这个客人进来之后，其实他的这个讲课呢，就是为那个新来的客人讲的。
Okay, so what is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's introduction?
那 Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 的在这里的这个首先的这个导言是什么？他要有一个介绍，这个是什么呢
？Jivera Swarup.Jivera Swarupa Hoy, Krishnera Nityadas, Krishnera Tatash Shakti Beda Beda Prakash, Suryamsa Kirana Yoche Agni Jola Choi, Swabhavika Krishnera Tina Prakar Shakti Hoy. It is the living entity's constitutional position to be an eternal servant of Krishna becauseHe is the marginal energy of Krishna and a manifestation simultaneously one with and different from the Lord, like a molecular particle of sunshine or fire. Krishna has three varieties of energy.
那其实他俩马哈帕布说呢，这个生物体的构成性地位便是 Krishna 永恒的仆人，因为生物体是 Krishna 的边际能量，他展示他与主既相同又不同，正如阳一颗微粒 ，Krishna 有三种不同量。
So the very first statement here is that.The living entity has an eternal constitutional position as an eternal servant of Krishna.
那在这里这个陈述的第一句就是说呢，这个生物体它有一个永恒的一个本性的一个地位，这就是 Krishna 永恒的仆人。
And when he says living entity, he refers to the spirit soul.
那当他说到这个生物体的时候呢？他的意思就是灵魂。
Now, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu began to instruct Rupa Goswami, he approached the teaching from a different angle.
那 Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 当时和 Rupa Goswami 去讲述的时候，他是以一个不同的这个角度切入的。
He actually gave a much broader picture.
他给了一个更为宏大的图景。
If you remember, he said there are millions of universes.
他说的就是亿亿万万的宇宙。
And in each universe, there are so many different millions of species of life.
在每一个宇宙当中呢，又有亿亿万万的生物体，千千万万的生物体。
And among those species, there are the humans.
在这么多的生物的种族当中呢？就有人类。
And there are different levels of humans.
然后人呢也有不同的层面。
And among those humans, some follow Vedic principles, some don't.
这些不同的人类之中呢， 有些人他们会遵循伟大的原则，而有一些人呢却会违背。
And among those who follow Vedic principles, some are performing karma, some are performing dhyana, some are performing yoga.
然后呢，在这些遵从伟大原则的人当中，有一些人呢，他修习的是这个业报，有些人呢，他是思辨的，有些人呢是修习这个玄秘的瑜伽冥想。
And among those who perform yoga, some are performing austerities, and gradually they become purified.
然后呢，在这些修习的瑜伽的这些人当中，有一些人非常的苦行，然后在这个苦修之中，他们不断的得到净化。
And then you have the devotees.
然后呢，还有一类就是奉献者。
And then he explained the different relationship between the devotee and Krishna.
然后他接下去就是描述的是奉献者跟 Krishna 之间的不同的关系。
So here Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says all the living entities, not just the humans, all the living entities have a constitutional position. Constitutional means by nature, they are eternal servants of Krishna.
那么这是 Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 在这里说到的众生，所有的生物体，就指的不仅仅是人类了。然后在这里用到了一个词，就是 constitutional， 中文的意思是构成性。那这个其中的这个意思呢，就是说是本性，就是本性使然，就是所有的这些生物体的本性就是 Krishna 永恒的仆人。
But because these living entities are situated in a material world, they are tatashta or marginal.
所以这些生物体它是因为身在这个物质世界呢，所以它们是 tatashta 呢，那意思就是说它们是边际能量。
And the example is given of the sunshine or the fire. You have light and you have heat. You have the sun, you have the sun rays.
所以说呢，他在这里又做了一个比喻，这就是太阳和这个火，这个太阳和火都有光和热。那么太阳呢，不仅有这个太阳这个球体，而且它会散发出阳光，有这些光线。
So, the sun is located in one specific location, but the sun rays are spreading all throughout the universe.
那这个太阳呢？它这个本体是在宇宙的某一个地方，但是它散发出来的这个阳光却遍及宇宙的各个角落。
So the sun rays are a manifestation of the sun. They are of the same nature.
所以这个阳光呢，它是太阳的一种展示的这个形式。阳光和太阳本身从性质上而言是相同的。
Similarly, the living entity are of the same nature as Krishna, but very minute.
所以说同样的，就是生物体从性质而言和主 Krishna 是一样的，一致的。但是呢，从量上而言，它却是极其微小的。
The drop of the ocean is exactly of the same nature as the entire ocean.
这个就好像是一滴海水一样，从这个性质而言，也是与整个汪洋是一致的。
So, then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says Krishna has three potencies or three energies.
那么 Krishna 在这里他接着说呢， Krishna 他有三种能量。
Chit Shakti, Jiva Shakti, Maya Shakti.The spiritual potency, the living entity potency, and the illusory potency.
那这三种能量呢，一种被称为 Chit Shakti， 就是说灵性的能量，一种被称为 Jiva Shakti， 这个就是个体灵魂了，就是生物体。然后还有一个被称为 Maya Shakti， 意思就是说虚幻能量，这个物质的虚幻能量。
So the living entity, you and me,are standing in between.
所以说像你我这样的一些生物，其实就是居于灵性的能量和物质虚幻能量之间。 所以它被称为编辑能量。
So this is why we are considered marginal.
所以呢，我这个这就是为什么我们被称为边际能量啊，或者叫边缘能量。
And being marginal, we have the options to turn towards the illusory potency or to turn towards the spiritual potency.
啊，那处在这个边际能量的这个地位的话，这个时候我们可以有两个选择。一个就是说转向虚幻能量，还有一个就是转向Krishna 灵性能量。
And how we get to turn towards one or the other is based on influence.
那我们究竟转向哪一个？怎么转呢？这个是受的是与就是施加在我们身上的这个影响有关。
And there is a specific result when we turn towards the spiritual potency, and there is a specific result when we turn towards the material energy.
那就是相应的，当我们转向了灵性的能量的时候呢，就会有一个结果。那当我们转向这个物质的能量的时候呢，也就会有一个相应的结果。
When we turn towards the spiritual energy, it is called enlightenment. When we turn to idea or nescience or ignorance.
那就是说，当我们转向灵性的能量的时候，我们就会觉悟或者就会悟道。那如果说我们转向了物质能量的话，那在范文里就是 avidya 的一个状态，那就是无知、愚昧的。或者有人用无明这个词语，就是无知的这样的一种状态，无知无明的状态。
So these are the introduction of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu.
这个就是 Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 的一个介绍，整体的介绍。
To the answer of Sanatana Goswami when he says, Who am I?
这个首先呢，就是回答的是 Sanatana Goswami 提出的第一个问题，我是谁？
Krishna Swarupa Hoy Krishna.Krishna Nityadas, you are an eternal servant of Krishna.
你是 Krishna 永恒的仆人。
But now we are influenced by the material energy with the option to be influenced by the spiritual.
但是呢，我们现在呢，就是遭受的物质能量对我们的影响，但是我们还保留着。另外一种选择的可能性，就是说我们可以被 Krishna 灵性的能量所影响，也就是说我们可以转向灵性的能量。
So there is here already plenty for us to digest.
在这里的这些内容呢，已经非常多了，足够我们去消化一阵子的了。
And we'll stop and see if there are any questions.
那现在呢，我们就先讲到这里，我们来看看大家有没有什么问题。Hare Krishna, Sumukhi Mataji, 您看一下大家有没有提上问题来。
She's still there?
Not sure. Let's wait for a minute. There's some delay in transmission.This is a question not directly related, but it's about the four sampradayas in different ages. Do they adopt the same spiritual practice? This question is from a complicated name. 这个 Jaya Krishna 梁谢奎在这个他提了一个问题，顶拜帕布的莲花族，请问四个师徒传系在不同的年代采用的修习方法是一样的吗
？Yeah, that's the question. Do they adopt the same spiritual practice in different ages?
In different ages, there's some sampradayas are established in Kali Yuga.
这个师徒传系 a different time, I would say different time, although he used the word 是这个四个使徒传系呢，它都是在这个卡利年代才出现的。Different time.
They all teach the same process.
这他们所教导的这个程序是一样的。
They all follow the same scriptures.
所基于的或者说他们所遵循的这个经典也是相同的。
The mode of worship and the mode of practice differs based on the destination.
但是呢，他们的这个 mode of worship and mode of practice 就是修习的方法，就是说修习的模式还有崇拜的这个模式的话，基于他们所要达到的这个目的地的这个不同，就是目标的这个不同呢，有所差异。
Yeah.
但是是一致的。Agenda Prabhu， 感谢 Prabhu 的讲课和翻译的翻译。主 Chaitanya 教导 Sanatana Goswami 是一种宏观的教导，一种的教导，没有太多的细节的具体的内容，普通人难以理解。那么具体细节内容是后来六国三语和他们支持者提供的吗？另外教导也是根据时间的地点和环境的变化而变化的，当然原则不可更改。那么在中国这样的环境下，如何把教导符合国情？
Thank you very much for your class.
When Lord Chaitanya instructed Sanatana Goswami, it was a general teaching, an overall teaching without too many details. Because people in general can't understand very much. Is it that later on six Goswamis and their followers elaborate on those teachings by providing more details? And also we know that the teachings should vary according to different time, place and circumstances. However, we can't deviate from the principle. The principles shouldn't be changed. So, it reminds me that in an environment like China, how can we according to the situation in China?
Okay. First of all, we've only started reading four verses from the teachings of Lord Chaitanya Prabhu.
现在的话就是说，我们到目前为止就是在这个 Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 教导 Sanatana Goswami 的这个主题里面，我们才讲了四个世界。
And those teachings are going to cover four chapters.
Four verses.
Yeah, we covered four verses.
Yeah, we covered the four verses, but actually the teachings last for four chapters.
That's right.
但是其实后面的那个教导是长篇的，就是是四一共涵盖了四章的内容。现在我们刚讲了四个世界。
And you will see that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu will get into every possible minor detail.
那我们就会看到，其实 Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 一开始他是比较宏观的，然后在后面四章这么一路讲下去，你就会发现他就是越讲越细，有很多很多具体的细节。
He does this purposely because when the acharyas give teachings, as you mentioned, they have to give teachings by considering the time and place.
他这个是有意为之，因为我们知道，当那些 acharya 们他们去教导的时候，他们必须要因时因地因人。
And you have to consider the people who are receiving the knowledge at that time and the people who will get the knowledge in the future.
你要考虑当时去接受这些教导的那个时候的当代人的这个情况，以及后代的人的情况。
So oftentimes, just like in Bhagavad Gita, as a devotee, when you read certain chapters, you feel that this has got nothing to do with me.
就是好像是看那个博家梵歌的时候，有一些章的这个内容，你感觉好像跟我现在。我现在的这个生活没有什么太大的关系。
We appreciate, but we want the real nectar.
就是说呢，我们也是非常敬仰，非常欣赏的。但是呢，我们又想要真正的那种甘露，那种玉液琼浆的感觉。
So, for example, later on, based on the teachings of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Sanatana Goswami is going to write a book which is known as Hari Bhakti Vilas.
就好像是在这个例子一样，就是 Sanatana Goswami 在聆听了 Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 的教导之后，后来他写了一部书叫做 Hari Bhakti Vilas.
And Hari Bhakti Vilas is filled with so many technical details about temple construction, festivals, rituals, jagyas, so many things. And when you read through it, you wonder, how is this got to do anything to do with my bhakti?
那么在这个 Hari Bhakti Vilas 的这部书里面，你可能就会看到，就是Sanatana Goswami 讲到了很多有关于这个神庙的建设呀，然后神庙的崇拜呀，仪式，在里面做的这些祭祀啊，还有节日啊等等。那你看了这些之后，你就会想，跟我现在修习 Krishna 之觉有关系吗？
But Sanatana Goswami wrote those details because he was dealing with a class of brahmanas who expected to find something in Gaudiya literature.
那么因为呢，其实这是有一个时代性的，就是 Sanatana Goswami 在写这些书的时候，他在面对的是一些婆罗门当时的这一批的这个婆罗门，他们需要从这个 Gaudiya Vaishnava 的这个传承的这个教导当中吸收到一些灵感，吸收到一些东西。
And similarly, when you look at the Nectar of Devotion, which is known as the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Rupa Goswami wrote this book. It's very, very big. It's 900 pages. But Prabhupada wrote the Nectar of Devotion, which is a summary of the Nectar.
那么你还会看到我们经常读的这个《奉爱的甘露》，其实这部书呢是基于就是说 Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 的中文的这个译文的全名就是说奉爱甘露之阳，就是那个呢，就是其实原本它是一篇鸿篇巨著了， Rupa Goswami 写的，但是 Prabhupada 最后写的这个奉爱的甘露的这部书其实就是一部小书所以说它是基于这个原来的那个长篇巨著的一个浓缩版。
So, yes, the Goswami wrote books which include the time and place and include a much broader vision that can accommodate everyone all over the world.
所以呢 Goswami 们当他们去写他们的著作的时候的确是基于当时的时间地点他的这个环境以他所面对的这些人的，但是在写这些书的时候，他同时他也有一个更加也有一个非常宏观的一个视域，他的心中是全世界的人，普通人。
For example, Bhaktivinoda Thakur wrote so many books that can be read by people who don't even practice Krishna consciousness.
所以就好像 Bhaktivinoda Thakur 他写了好多的书。其中有好多这些书还都是为那些不修习 Krishna 知觉的人写的。
So Prabhupada's books are also like that. They appeal to everyone.
Prabhupada 的这些书呢，实际上也是为所有的人所写的。
Now to come to your final and important point, how do we deal with this in the context of the Chinese culture?
那么就是你的这个问题的。好的。一个话题了，就是我们在中环境之中，我们应当如何去处理这些问题？怎么去教导
？Yes, it's very important because, how do we know if people actually understand Prabhupada's books?
的确是非常的这个重要的。你这个问题，就是我们怎么才能够保证人们能够去理解是了 Prabhupada 的书呢
？So. You know, Prabhupada's books must be read and understood by the guidance of the devotee.
是的 ，Prabhupada 的这个书呢，一定要是在奉献者的指引之下。 在奉献者的陪伴之下，去阅读，去理解的。
And you have devotees like Siddhadeha Prabhu who write books on Vaishnava philosophy, but which is more appealing to the Chinese traditional culture.
那么就是说，我们比如说我们有像Siddhadeha Prabhu这样的奉献者，他的一些书的这个核心其实是藏着这个 Vaishnava 的这个文化的，但是他的这些著作的写作这个方式呢，又是针对大众的，就是能够吸引到这些普通的大众。
So as you pointed out, as long as the conclusion, the principle, the core teachings never touched, then we can build around it according to time and place. There is nothing wrong with that.
我刚才还落了一个，就是 Siddhartha Prabhu 的书，他也是被就是吸引的那些非常着迷于中国传统文化的人啊，所以说呢，这个要点就是说，这个核心的原则是不变的，中心是不变的，但是我们可以就是基于时间、地点、环境、因时、因地、因人的这个原则来进行一种阐释。
But if you begin to water down the philosophy so it becomes more convenient for people, then it's an absolute disaster.
但是如果是为了普通大众的方便而去稀释我们的这些核心要义的话，那最终的结果可能就是灾难性。
The way we approach the philosophy of Krishna consciousness is one thing.But we should always make it clear to the reader that Krishna is the source of everything and is the supreme personality of God.
就是我们接近我们的 Krishna 知觉的这个哲学是一方面就是方式是一方面，但是我们始终要抱着这个原则不变，就是要让大众，要让读者能够明白Krishna 是万缘之源， Krishna 他是一切的这个始源，至尊人格首先。
Okay, that's it.
Yeah.
Okay, Sumukhi Mataji.
Sumukhi Mataji 就是这些问题了，对吗？
是的 ，Hare Krishna。Prabhu, 已经没有其他问题了。
Okay. So, thank you very much, everyone.
好，感谢大家的聆听。
Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita ki jai.
Jai.
Sri Sanatan Goswami ki jai.
Jai.
Kashadesh Yatra ki jai.
Jai.
Sri Prabhupada ki jai.
Jai.
Go Premanande.
Hari Hari Bo. 百通百知音服务源于聆听，亲爱的奉献者们，今天的永恒的切贪念经是切贪念 Charitamrita 的讲课就到这里告一段落，我们下周同一时间，周三早上7点再见。祝大家开启充满着 Krishna 知觉的新年的一天 ，Hare Krishna。